What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
LeBron versus the NBA.
We end up in playoff, whatever that thing is, whoever came up with it, need to be fired.
Woo!
Reach it. Say it.
As the Lakers trend towards the play-in game, Blackstone, Gutierrez, Kaplan, and Plaschke in our play-in game. Let's go.
Oh, I'm in the play-in game. Right.
Plaschke, yes, you're in the play-in game.
That makes a lot of sense. So thank you.
No, this is you earned this over the last couple of weeks in the Dodgers column you've been writing. Let alone the Lakers. No. Let's go. Lakers Nuggets tonight. It's back-to-back for LA after the loss to Toronto yesterday. And a 6-of-7 losing streak. LeBron will not play because of his ankle and the management they're doing there. It got real quick for the Lakers, the sixth seed, but that's only via tiebreaker over Portland. So with 2 weeks left, the play-in game is a growing possibility. And let's listen to LeBron again.
This happens to, we end up at 6th or 5th or whatever the case may be, or we end up in the playoff, whatever that thing is, whoever came up with that need to be fired.
Pat's calling out Adam Silver in bold letters. Now, we also have a quote from LeBron last year sounding very excited about other teams when they had a chance to compete for the play-in. And we have a quote from LeBron in 2018 when the idea was first brought up and he said, this is whack, it's corny. So he's been all over the place here. Bill Plaschke, I turn to you. Is LeBron wrong here?
No, LeBron is right, and he was right last year about the pandemic. It's a different situation now. You don't need the season should be able to determine the top 8 seeds. You don't need all these extra games. But the fact that he would even bring this up tells you how worried he is about the Lakers and how worried he should be about the Lakers. It's not that they're worried about losing the play-in game. It's that they're worried about losing the practice time they would get if they weren't in the play-in game. And this team needs practice. They're 1-6 since AD came back. They're 0-2 since LeBron came back. They can't figure out the defense. Kyle Kuzma says they're not connected, and they're not connected, and they need time. And they'll be fine if they get this practice time on the court together. But a play-in game is going to mess that up. And so I don't blame LeBron for being upset. And he's worried. They ought to be worried.
Emily Kaplan, is LeBron wrong here?
He is wrong. What I love about LeBron is he understands the power of his voice, but you can't just use your voice when it's convenient to him. Where was he complaining when Luka and the Mavs didn't want this play-in game? Where was he earlier in the season when the Lakers didn't look like they were going to play this play-in game? It sounds like, he said that whoever came up with this should be fired. I actually think whoever came up with it is going to be celebrating the league office. It's made the last few weeks of the season so entertaining, dramatic. There's stakes on the line, and that first couple weeks of the postseason is going to be fantastic. I mean, of the 10 most popular and most viewed games this year, the Warriors have been in 5 of them. Imagine Steph versus LeBron week of the playoffs. It's going to be massive.
Israel Gutierrez, is LeBron wrong here?
No. There are two groups of people here in the way they see this. There are those who watch the games, and there are those who play in the games. Those who play in the games, I sort of sympathize with them some because they are going to have a 72-game season this year and another season, an 82-game season, and that should be enough to determine 1-8. I've said this multiple times. They're not having a play-in for the number one seed, right, because the 72 games is enough to determine that. They're only doing it for the teams at the bottom half or the bottom end, but I do understand the benefit here. This is a league situation where they don't really care about the players so much in those particular teams. They just want the games to matter more and that be more exciting for the fans. And that's definitely working here because you have a situation where you could have Zion Williamson versus Ja Morant in one play-in and Steph Curry versus LeBron James in the other. And I know that that takes away pretty much everything else they've done all season, but it does get more excitement for these fans. As long as you admit that you are not caring so much about what they do over those 72 games, then yes, it's okay to celebrate these games as more exciting.
And Kevin Blackstone, is LeBron wrong here?
I am on Team LeBron. He is not wrong. Bill is absolutely right. Look, we have 72 games. Izzy just said it. He just said it. We have plenty of time to watch these teams play against each other and determine who should be in the playoffs. You know who should be fired, who started this? It's the NCAA when they started the play-in into the NCAA tournament. That's where it really may have begun. But I'm fine with this. And what LeBron is saying right now is, look, I'm not about this. I'm not a play-in playoff player. That's not what I do in this league. Although he might want to play a little bit more and not sit out tonight.
Well, he's injured right now.
Apparently, he's about to do.
How much trouble are the Lakers in, Kevin Blackstone?
Oh, they're in a lot of trouble because we just assumed that as soon as AD and LeBron came back, everything would be fine. We assumed that this play-in would not be any conversation at all for this team. We assumed that they could just flip the switch, they would be healthy, and everything would be fine. And Schroeder's out now. Who knows? LeBron's out again. They're in a lot of trouble.
Schroeder's playing the piano. Schroeder is the one who's out right now. Emily, you're the only person here who's putting this on LeBron a little bit. And I thought this was going to be unanimous that everybody was putting it on LeBron. You could have the last word.
Yeah, I just think that might be unpopular these days, and he's just trying to protect his team. Look, they're not good shape right now. They are minus 56 when AD has been on the court since he's returned from injury. They could have gotten Kyle Lowry. They could have just given up anyone, but instead, here they are, and they have to play in the play-in tournament. That's the reality.
Then just announce that the games at the beginning of the year aren't as important as the ones at the end, because the Washington Wizards at the beginning of the year were struggling, couldn't figure things out. Now that they did at the end as a 10th seed have a chance to get in, that again doesn't really make sense. But hey, let's just say that that's the case on the front end so that on the back end we can have fun with these extra
games. Flashy, last word.
Yeah, the whole thing's absurd, but the Lakers are in definite trouble. Kevin's right. I assumed everything would be fine. Everything's not fine. LeBron's out tonight. If they have to play in a play-in game, their championship hopes are severely, severely curtailed.
We'll move on. Bucks Nets from the opening play to the last shot. This was Giannis versus Durant. Mesmerizing dunks and blocks and blow-bys. Last second, of course, you knew Durant was going to get the shot. Couldn't get it to fall. Milwaukee wins. Durant finished with 42. Giannis with 49. And they play again tomorrow. So, Israel, what's the number one takeaway with last night's game, tomorrow's game, and maybe more in the playoffs?
To me, the number one takeaway was the Nets' defense. And, you know, we obviously saw Giannis Antetokounmpo last year not be able to be that offensive force in the playoffs and lose to the Heat in the second round. It appears with no Nets rim protection that they could really, that Giannis really feels like he can do that in a playoff series against this team. And obviously yesterday showed that. Now, they didn't have James Harden. I don't know what exactly James Harden's going to do to help the Nets defense. And they, you know, their rim protect, they're not going to probably play DeAndre Jordan as much. But to be honest, if I'm the Nets, I'm a bit concerned because I don't think that I have, over the course of seven games, a defense that can stop him or any one superstar. And frankly, if you look at the other way around, Giannis can defend, you know, Kevin Durant. Drew Holiday did a great job on Kyrie Irving yesterday. And, you know, fill in the blank there, whoever can defend James Harden, Dante DiVincenzo is a pretty solid defensive player. So I just think it's a little bit nervous if you're the Nets projecting forward into the
play. Is that what you saw, Kevin Blackstone?
Absolutely. And I'll just turn the lens to the Bucks, who I said all along the season, I mean, they are the ones who have something to prove. And they proved it last night. Now, whether or not they'll prove it Tuesday is another story. But what they proved is they can score the basketball better than anybody in the league, better than the Nets. And not only that, when you talk about defensive rating and net defensive rating, they have a top 10 defense, and they have people who can guard like Drew Holiday. So to me, they're letting people know, and particularly themselves, that they are the best team in the East.
Oh, and Philadelphia is not even the conversation for you.
Correct.
Okay, Emily That's Kaplan, right. What did you take away from Bucks Nets?
You know, Izzy said he's not sure how much DeAndre Jordan is going to play or guard Giannis if they meet in the postseason. That was my biggest takeaway. I mean, we all know how amazing Giannis is. He's a two-time MVP. Yeah. We saw him defensively in this game. It was just so damn easy for him to get those 49 points, and it felt like the Nets didn't even care. So to me, this almost felt like Steve Nash not wanting to give away too much of his hand of how they're going to play him in the postseason, because they can't have DeAndre on him in isolation. That just doesn't work.
Right, but Giannis isn't going to score 49 every night in a series. Bill Plaschke,
what
was your takeaway?
He's got DeAndre.
My takeaway, I echo everyone else. Giannis was 16 of 25 against DeAndre Jordan. 16 points were on layups and dunks. How are they going to stop him in the playoffs? I don't know. But, Kevin, you're wrong about that. I don't think the Bucks can be said the number one team in the East. Embiid's going to stop those dunks and those layups. Philadelphia has rim protection. But this is why the Nets wanted Andre Drummond, why they needed Andre Drummond. And I think they're hurting. Also, don't forget, the Nets, those three guys have only played seven games together.
Yes, nobody's forgetting that. That's been the conversation we've had on the show like 120 times in the last 121 shows, Plaschke.
But not today.
Okay, all right. The only one who brought it up today. There you go. How chaotically awesome was Mets-Phillies last night? Mets got to get at Jose Alvarado in the eighth, who was only pitching while appealing his suspension for taunting and starting everything earlier in the series. They got him. And then the Rhys Hoskins bottom of the ninth, two out, three-run home run. That wasn't. He took Edwin Diaz deep, but upon review, not deep enough, hit the railing, not the seats, railing in play in Phillies Park. So it was a ground rule double. Juris Familia got the call for the at-bat versus Bryce Harper and struck him out in four strikes. Are you sure that was the right call, Emily? And should the ballpark have more conclusive barriers, Emily? And how about Alvarado, Emily? Go ahead.
I'm not going to comment on a ballpark's dimensions, but I will talk about the suspension, and I thought it was absolutely ridiculous. We love when players show emotions. We love when batters do bat flips after a play. Why, when a pitcher strikes someone out and he wants to chirp him, no punches are thrown, is he suspended three games? This was super soft on MLB, and I don't like it.
Joe Plaschke?
No, Emily, I think you're wrong. In this COVID era, you know, these dugout clearing scrums are really can be really dangerous, and he was inciting it. Alvarado was inciting it. He was taunting. He needed to be suspended. But how great is baseball? He's suspended. Then the next day, he's out pitching against a team he was suspended for taunting. And he threw 11 pitches, Alvarado did. The Mets got, and he threw three strikes of 11 pitches. He was terrible. The Mets won that duel. They won the game. Big win for the
Kevin
Mets.
Kevin Blackstone?
And there's no doubt that his team would rather him have been suspended so they wouldn't have called him out to blow that game for him. And as far as the call on the home run, that's the quirky thing about baseball. The ground rules that are different in every stadium do not change that. If you remember the fast pitch wiffle ball games we used to have next door in Mrs. Scott's backyard, you remember the fence in right field, Tony. If you put it over there, that was an automatic out because you couldn't retrieve it in the other people's, in the neighbor's
yard. I like the character. Just because you are a character doesn't mean you have character. I mean, they can give us a different color on the railing there. But Israel Gutierrez, how about you?
What do we think about the H in Reese? Do you think it's silent? Because I like to say Rhys Hoskins. I don't think it's silent at all. But also, in terms of the home run, it's so anticlimactic to then have to return, right? You get all that emotion, and you get them celebrating the home run, and then all of a sudden, like, I suggest that maybe Hoskins or whoever in this situation has to re-round the bases backward after an overturned call and have to just eat it that way, because they got to get all that emotion out of the way in the home run
right,
call.
But you just got jokes about this? I mean, are you doing rock and jock here, Israel? What is that? Emily Kaplan took down LeBron and is taking down all comers here after the first word. Buy or sell is next.
You agree with her, Tony. That's why she got
of course. LeBron only cares this way because it affects him. When it's somebody else, he doesn't say that. That's what the problem is.
Around the Horn is brought to you by DiGiorno. It's not delivery, it's DiGiorno. And Bear Ultra Scuff Defense, the paint that's too tough to scuff.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guarantee Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and The Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, brought to you by Chase. Coming to you from the Seaport District at Pier 17.
The saga in Green Bay continues. General Manager Brian Gutekunst said he only got one trade request call Thursday, and he said no immediately, and there was no discussion to it. He didn't name the team. I mean, the 49ers have said they've reached out, whether that was this week, last week, we don't know specifically. Bill Plaschke, now that the draft is over, do you think it's less likely Rodgers forces his way out of Green Bay or more?
I think it's more likely. I think they've got to trade him. I think he's headed for a path now where he's not going to show up for summer camp, for training camp. He could actually put in a retirement like Carson Palmer did with the Bengals and end up becoming a free agent. He'll give up a lot of money, but hell, he's got jeopardy. He's got money. He's got five more years left in this league. He feels underappreciated. Trade him before you get something for him.
Emily Kaplan?
More. Look at the last 10 drafts. The Packers have spent 9 of their first round picks on a defensive player, and the other time was a backup quarterback. Aaron Rodgers looks at that and it's a big screw you for management. So I do think something happens, because this is something, the frustration that's been marinating for nearly a decade.
Israel Gutierrez?
Well, if he's going to go the route of creating chaos, then he might just turn sort of the fan base against him eventually. If he sits out and the Green Bay Packers say, hey, we've done our part, he's the one who's not playing, you could sort of turn the perspective on this a little bit. But in the end, I think that this maybe doesn't do much in terms of forcing their hand to trade him, because they could still sit with him sitting out, look like the party that the fans can side with.
Kevin Blackstone, you buy that?
No, not really. I mean, three-time NFL MVP, coming off another MVP season. As long as he's with that team, they have a shot to get to the Super Bowl. If he's not, they do not. And as Emily just pointed out, they just haven't done anything to help him at wide receiver. I mean, they draft a wide receiver this time. It's the highest they've spent on a wide receiver since they got Devontae Adams.
Right. So, but, you know, without spending on receivers, they still had an offense last year that allowed him to be the MVP of the league. It's not like they're hurting that much, Kevin Blackstone.
Well, you should still give him some help. Listen to this man. He's the reason that you're in the soup at all.
Yeah.
Come on.
Right. If you have a chance to choose between the GM or the quarterback, I think most of you are choosing the quarterback. Do you know the last three-time MVPs all did not finish their career with the team they won the MVPs with? We're talking about Manning. We're talking about Brady. If you go back further, Johnny Unitas is on that list. That is an amazing thing. We'll move on.
Happening.
We look at draft grades here at ESPN and everywhere, and it always seems like every team's about to get 3 to 4 Hall of Famers and a couple more Pro Bowlers, and the dynasty starts today. Well, here are the teams I've seen get an A grade, at least in one review, whether it be ESPN or elsewhere, NFL.com. The Dolphins got an A. The Jets got an A. Bills have received some A's. Patriots, Giants, Eagles, Cowboys, Browns, Steelers, Packers, Bears, Lions, hey. Vikings, Ravens, Niners, Bucks, Falcons, Panthers, Chargers, A's. I mean, guys, please. Emily Kaplan, who was the draft's biggest winner? And if somebody had to lose, who was the biggest loser?
All right, well, I'm going to go the Packers the loser, and the winner would be the Bears. I covered them in the draft in 2017 when they got Trubisky, and there was confusion and trepidation. He was booed at the first Bulls game that he went to. The vibe is so different in Chicago this weekend. Even Sarah Spain and Mike Wilbon are pumped.
All right, enough about Wilbon and Spain. Gutierrez, how about you? No, I don't want to hear any more about that.
I like those choices. But I will take the Broncos here, because you've got to know John Elway's so upset at all these other teams with brand new quarterbacks that they can play with, and all of a sudden he's got Teddy Bridgewater and still has Drew Locke, and you know he wants to make a move for a quarterback.
Oh, biggest loser, you know, is Denver.
Winner, I'd say, honestly. Yeah, the biggest loser. I would say, honestly, the Dolphins, in executing their game plan for building around
honestly,
I think did a great job. We won't know how great until 3 or 4 years down the road.
Kevin Blackstone?
Well, it's easy for the Jaguars, right? Because they just go out and get Trevor Lawrence. But they also got Etienne, his running back mate. They went out and got Campbell, a really good cornerback from Georgia. They went out and got Little, the offensive lineman who can help protect Trevor Lawrence. I think they did really well in the draft. I give them an A.
Flash.
Izzy is right, and Emily's right. The Bears are the biggest winners by far. Got Fields. They got a block for him. They got a running back. They did great. The Broncos, biggest losers because they didn't get Fields, because they passed on him inexplicably, unbelievably. Now they're in a market to trade for Rodgers. They should make that trade before the start of the season.
And then they would be a winner, and then everybody in the entire league will have won the offseason. It's amazing.
Hey.
Yes, sir.
Well, Gutierrez, Black.
Woo, I got in. I got
in
the showdown.
Get an A grade today, apparently. I'm a harder grader than the NFL.
Get in the drafters.
You want a playing game? Yeah, go.
Yeah.
Plashkey, Kaplan. Showdown. 2 minutes.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Around the Horn is brought to you by Pizza Hut. Order today at pizzahut.com.
Old Trafford this weekend. Look at this. Fans protest. Made it out onto the pitch. So Manchester United-Liverpool game was shut down and postponed. This is about the Super League. This is about the United's ownership, the Glazer family, the Americans. Emily, what's your takeaway?
This is a story about neglect. This is a storied club, but since these Americans took over, there's been no new infrastructure, the club isn't performing, and there's been no accountability or communication. Of course the supporters are pissed.
Mm-hmm. Bill?
Yeah, no, I don't condone the trespassing, but my goodness, I love their passion. Can you imagine that happening in the United States? We wear paper bags, we boo, but we don't get 1,000 people outside of a stadium and protest just because the team
with stinks. Flares, with flares. It's a publicly traded company. The
you
stock market.
That's
the fans' field. And that's been great about all these protests over the Super League. The fans were the ones who shut it down. We'll move on. 106 pitches, 9 strikeouts, 5 hits, complete game. And most importantly, 2 hours and 37 minutes. Which allowed Max Scherzer to get to the hospital in time for his wife and the birth of his family's third child. And look at this photo. That's a FaceTime right there for Derek Scherzer. Bill Plaschke, seeing that face makes you say what?
Makes me think back to, for each of my 3 children's birthdays, every morning of every birthday, I will call them and I will tell them the story of their birth, how they were born, where I was, where their mommy was. They love it. Max Scherzer has a heck of a birthday story to tell.
That's so sweet, but Max Scherzer can also say, I pitched a game that was 30 minutes shorter than baseball's average just to see you, kid. I saved the game of baseball, and the kid still gives him the side-eye.
Love the side-eye. I love those first photos. We'll give the point. Great story, Plaschke. Here's a stat for you. But point and game, Emily Kaplan.
It is Mental Health Awareness Month, and there are some professional hockey players I've talked to this season that are struggling with isolation, with anxiety, with depression, but they don't want to talk it publicly because they know there are some fans who say, well, they're millionaires. And that is the problem with the way society still views mental health as binary rather than a spectrum. I hope this pandemic taught us we have more in common than we think, and that a little empathy can go a long way, because you truly don't know what someone is going through, no matter how they look on the outside.
Thank you for that, Emily Kaplan. I really appreciate that. 23 and a half hour break. We'll see you tomorrow around the horn. Here it is, the drive for 5. Oh!